Hey, everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, November 18th, 2018. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart? You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 320. There's no guest. It's just me in my apartment rambling about things and talking to you. And I hope that's enough for the couple hundred of you that listen to this podcast. And for the 18 or 17 of you that support this podcast, I appreciate you so much. Because I appreciate you so much, there's an episode on Patreon. By the time you guys listen to this, there'll be a Patreon episode of me talking to my buddy, Maranzio Vance. Initially, it was just supposed to be like a little thing on Stan Lee, and then it became something else. And because it became something else, it's a Patreon episode. So if you subscribe to it, it's really good. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to start having people, like if it's like a podcast favorite, I'm just moving them to Patreon. Like if you've heard them before on the show, they're most likely going to go on to the Patreon. Like when JL comes back, he's going to be Patreon. When Rod comes back, he's going to be on a Patreon, like something like that. I think that's what I'm going to shoot for now and give you, because there's some gems. There's some really good stuff over there. And I know that that I don't talk about it that much. But hey, subscribe to the show. And those of you that are helping with subscribing for the bonus content, you are helping the show in a lot of ways. You're helping it just exist in this form here, and especially on Patreon. So I appreciate you guys really, I was about to say really much. I appreciate you guys so much. So right now I'm just in my apartment. I need to clean it up. I'm lazy. I've chilled a little bit this year, but this year's been really busy, and I've just been like all over the place this year. And so I just finished watching SNL, and I like that Steve Carell. They're all trying to get him to reboot. I don't think he's going back. He left before the show was over. They're not rebooting that. Don't they get a, you would think they got to get some kind of residual. They could probably make good money. I don't know. Who knows? So this week was, I forgot to tell you guys last week, 2 weeks ago now, I forgot to shout out Youth in a Roman Field. I got to see them. My good buddy Scott Stanglin and his friend, and a friend of the podcast, Claire Wellen, who's been on the show a couple times. Youth in a Roman Field had a new album that was released called Storm Conductor. And I hadn't seen them in a while. So they did this show a couple weeks ago at the Hill Country Barbecue Market in New York City. And I can't really tell if that's still Chelsea, because it's in the 20s. And it's like on 26th Street, but it's like, I'm not sure if that's really Chelsea. But anyway, it was, they were really fucking awesome. Like they're just, I posted a clip of them on Instagram, and a couple of clips actually. They were terrific. They were a five-piece band on Thursday, And that on a couple weeks ago when I saw them. So yeah, Claire doing the lead. Five, yeah. And they were terrific. I really love watching them play. And Hill Country Barbecue, the food was good. I got brisket, and the guy, the brother, he hooked me up with a free rib. He gave me one rib. Let me get just one rib. He gave me a free rib, and that place is fun. Barbecue in general, I think, is expensive. I guess if you live in at least in New York City, because years ago, like 5 years ago, where I found out there was some list about the best barbecue places in New York City, and there's this place called Fet Sal. Or they call it Fetty Sow or Fet Sow. I don't know what the right pronunciation of it is. There's one barbecue guy that used to work on my car. He calls it Fetty Sow. He's a chef. He can cook and all that stuff. And Anyway, and he was telling. And we were just talking about it. So I went there to see what all the hype was about, and it was pretty good. The food was good, but I ended up paying $40. For like a little bit of brisket and some ribs and like maybe two sides. And it just blew me away. And then I think I got a Cheerwine, because I was like, oh, Cheerwine, the soda that's like mainly based in North Carolina. Like you just kind of, Cheerwine. Is it kind of like, let me look it up. If you're from North Carolina or from the South, you know what it's about. Cheerwine is a cherry-flavored soft drink produced by Carolina Beverage Corporation of Salisbury, North Carolina. It has been produced since 1917, claiming to be the oldest continuing soft drink company still run by the same family. Yeah, so it's definitely based in North Carolina, and they had it there. And I was like, oh, shit. Cheerwine wasn't my favorite. It was fine. It's fine. But I think in North Carolina, it was like, I used to fuck with Mellow Yellow. What else? Sundrop. And in Maryland, we had Knee High. We used to have Knee High. Need that Knee High grape, young. Do they still have Knee High? Do they? I know they have Fanta. Knee High. I think they do. Knee High. Is Knee High soda still made? It was introduced in 1924. Knee High Corporation was adopted in 1928. Is that really? Are you guys? You're not saying that it's still. This advertisement, it's like an old school advertisement on a match cover. It's so old, it looks like they wouldn't let black people drink it. Oh, man. Well, look, okay. Yeah, it was founded after the Six Royal Crown. In April 2008, Knee High became a brand of Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, now Keurig Dr. Pepper in the United States. So it doesn't look, I don't know, it don't look like they make that shit no more. Dr. Pepper, Sunkist is a Dr. Pepper brand? I thought it was always Coca-Cola. I didn't know that. Fanta is a related, Sunkist used to be the orange soda of choice. Sunkist, Knee High, like the black people love. We love grape soda and orange soda. But now in my older age, I like ginger ale. Every now and then, I do like to get a grape Sunkist the real shit is Welch's grape. Sometimes you see it. And there was like I was getting my window fixed on my car last year, and I went to a diner while they were doing it or some... yeah, like a deli or something, and they had like these bottles of Welch's grape, and those are so good. And I think it's basically the same thing as Sunkissed. I don't know. I'm not. I used to be pretty good at knowing these because my dad worked at a grocery store, and I would use, oh, that's a so and so, and this is this brand is this, and I used to just for some reason just know all that shit. But yeah, like so, God, we went down a rabbit hole, didn't we, folks? But I don't. I try not to drink. I don't drink that much soda anymore, but I do. Every weekend, I like to get a six pack of Canada Dry. And when Damian Lemon was on earlier this year, we talked about drinks, like old guy soft drinks. But that's what I like. And I was in the grocery store yesterday, and to my surprise, they had. I'm an Ocean Spray guy, and I think it's because of when I was a kid, my mother used to put. She used to give me Ocean Spray juice boxes, and they were cran apple, and I love cran apple. There was a drink that they made, cran strawberry, that was No. So I like cran apple, but cran tangerine, it's so fucking good. And every time I would go to the store, occasionally I like a little juice, you know what I'm saying? Especially on a Saturday or Sunday, if I like to make like an omelet, I like to have egg and a breakfast meat. On the weekend, like a Saturday or Sunday. And I was in the store and I was like, I was going to make some corned beef hash and have some eggs. And I looked in the refrigerator and I didn't have any. I only had like two eggs. And I was like, I need at least three. So I got to go to the store. So I went to the grocery store and I was like, I want some juice, young. So I went to the juice section. You know, I'll say this. The best thing is to go to the, if you can do it, going to the grocery store when it first opens is the shit. It's the best because there's no lines. Most of the time, people are really nice to you. I had a nice conversation with the checkout lady. We talked about race. We talked about like Martha Stewart and people losing their sponsorships for being racist. And it was a neat conversation that I didn't know that I was going to have at 6:30 in the morning. But it was anyway. So I go to the juice section. And I'm like, I see it. I was like, oh, my God, they have cran tangerine. And I was so elated, you know. And it's so good. I like it a lot. I bought two bottles, but you can't drink that shit every day. But it's really good, though. That's one of my favorite juice flavors now, I would say. Yeah. So, then I made myself and I couldn't decide on what kind of breakfast meat that I wanted. So I bought some ham, cubed ham, and I bought some Italian sausage, and I bought a butterball turkey sausage, which is good. It's like the kielbasa type thing. It's not kielbasa, but it's like the turkey smoked sausage. And I know like Black Twitter doesn't like the turkey bacon and all that shit, and Black Twitter doesn't like anything but except Beyonce. So that's the only thing most of Black Twitter can agree on. They hate everything else but Beyonce. But anyway, turkey sausage, not bad. Turkey bacon, I like the kind that's like sizzling. I just like the texture of it. So I don't give a fuck if you judge me or not, but I like it, okay? All right, whatever. Okay, I like turkey sausage that has the consistency of sizzling. So, where was I? So the checkout lady, she's checking my stuff out, and she's like, "Oh, you're gonna make a nice Western omelet." I was like, "Yeah, I guess I am." So I made a great Western omelet. And it was dope. I really impressed myself with the omelet that I made. And so that was that. And got my cran tangerine. What the fuck was I talking about? Barbecue. Okay, here we go. So barbecue's just so fucking expensive. And I paid $40 at this place, Fat Sow. And I think like you're just paying for. You're paying for their overhead. You're paying for them to have a restaurant in Brooklyn. And I think I went to another place, and that was like 5 years ago. I'd never been back. And I just never have been around that way. But just getting food in New York City is you're just gonna pay a lot of money. And then when you're in Brooklyn, like you're just gonna pay. That's it. New York, you're just going to pay. That's basically what it is. And then you got the Amazon moving over to Queens and Arlington. It's gonna get even worse. I don't know if it's true, but people are saying that, and I talked about this on another pod where people are getting priced out of Brooklyn, certain places in Brooklyn, and they're moving to back to Manhattan. What I think is happening, they're moving to Jersey, because I live in Hackensack, and I'm seeing what looks like to be condos being put up in two different areas. So it's definitely becoming a commuter town. And I wonder how long these blue laws are going to last, where merchants aren't allowed to be open on Sundays. And I wonder how much that's going to change once all these people move over here. So we'll see, because they're already moving into certain places, like close to Newark and gentrifying stuff. Shout out to the homie Darren Patterson, because every time a place closes, like a landmark or any type of place closes, he'll always post it, and then he'll be like, "Well, it's over, folks." And people in Jersey get mad, you know, because like they're like a lot of us that live in Jersey, like it's slowly not becoming the tri-state area's best kept secret, because Jersey's actually nice, you know, like it's nice. And if I didn't have to leave, I don't think I would leave here, you know, obviously unforeseen circumstances and whatnot. But I like it over here. I always say you can go live your dream and you can leave. You can live your dream in New York City and you can go home and then you chill a little bit, you know. So that's what I think is happening. More people are starting to move over here, and because they're building up, they're shutting down these places, these cool places in the city, and building condos and stuff. I don't know. I have to get somebody smart on, like Justin Williams, back on again and just talk to him about it. So back to dumb stuff. Barbecue is just fucking expensive, man. And I just haven't had it in New York City, really. And I think you're just going to have to pay. Like, I went to a place in Brooklyn, another place in Park Slope. I was waiting, like, eating dinner before a show. And that was good. I don't remember it being too expensive, that place. But that's kind of like the trend. These fancy schmancy type places. And them just being a little more expensive than they need to be. But I would say the best barbecue I've had since I've been here, I had this place, and I've talked about it before, called Northern Smoke. And that was like, I don't think it's open anymore. Yeah, it's permanently closed. And I went there 3 years ago. Like, Google knows everything. You went there 3 years ago, you fat fuck. So I went there 3 years ago before a show one time. Probably one of the... That's up there with the... It was a really fun show. It was so good. I was coming into myself as an artist, really evolving. That was a moment of evolution. And I went to this place. It was so good. And I remember paying, like, for good barbecue, if you're going to get two meats and a couple of sides, like greens and mac and cheese or something, it's going to run you at least $30. And that's what this was, but it was good. It was really good. I don't have any problem with paying for food, especially if it's good. And if it's whack, I'm just pissed, and I don't think I'll ever forget it. Maybe, like the last place that I went in, went to this place in Saratoga Springs that was just so bad. I paid like $50 for the meal, and it was not good. Or you can drop 50 and it just runs through your stomach like you're like a terrorist, and you just terrorize the toilet. That's another thing that they don't tell, the people don't tell you. But barbecue, there was that place Northern Smoke, which was really good, and they're not around anymore, man. And it's sad. It makes me sad. It's hard to run a business, I guess, especially a restaurant. Especially hard to run restaurants. That was really great. And then one of my favorite barbecue place. Is this place called, I talked about Northern Smoke, Red, White, and Q, and that's run by a military vet. That place is fucking great. That's a place that's like reasonably priced, but you're just going to pay. You're just going to fucking pay when you get barbecue, because it's prime meats, and those are pretty expensive. So you just kind of know that if you're trying to get a real meal, even if you're one person, and I'm a big guy, I don't like, I eat well, but I'm not a savage like that. But if you want to say you want to get brisket, and then, you know, it's, you're going to pay. And that's the thing. I wonder how it is when you go to, like, it's got to be different when you go to Nashville or somewhere in like North Carolina or the Midwest, where it's not, there's more competition. I think there's less competition up here, so that's why we can charge this. So, you know. How about the 76ers? They beat the Hornets by 3. Jimmy Butler's, he's doing his thing, man. I hope this is, I hope they continue to do well. I sound like just like a supporter. I hope they do well. I wonder if Jimmy Butler's gonna. I've been looking watching a lot of videos on YouTube, and they're talking about Jimmy Butler. I didn't really know about his career like that. I just know he went to. I mean, let's look up Jimmy Butler. I know there's a rumor that he's like Michael Jordan's kid, like love child or something. He does look like Michael Jordan. He's from Houston, Texas. He went to Marquette. He went to Tyler Junior College. Yeah, like he came up, like he fucking earned his shit. Like, and he was not as talented as like Carl Anthony Towns and a lot, or like Jimmy Butler doesn't have the natural gifts, but he worked hard, and that's why like he was getting on people, because he's like, yo, I had to work for this, and like, you know, you're not getting your shit together. And I guess that was his thing, man. And part of me feels like he's right, but I want to get Dominic Rivera back on the show and talk to him about that, because I know he came up pretty hard. And I think maybe, I don't know, I'm not going to say, because I don't know his life. Let me see. I don't want to say that it's not. Born in, let's see what Wikipedia says. It could not be true. Born in Houston, Texas, Butler's father abandoned the family when he was an infant. By the time he was 13 years old and living in the Houston suburb of Tomball, his mother kicked him out of the house. As Butler remembered in a 2011 interview, she told him, "I don't like the look of you. You gotta go." Then he bounced between the homes of various friends, staying for a few weeks at a time before moving to another house. Despite this, Butler maintains a close relationship with his parents, saying, "I don't hold grudges. I still talk to my family, my mom, my father. We love each other. That's never going to change." So maybe Michael Jordan's not his dad. Yeah, he just came up hard, and he really like earned his position. Like, not to say any of the other guys earned it, but it was just a harder road for him. And sometimes he can't see. I could understand why he doesn't see why. Hey, why aren't you guys working hard? You guys really have talent, and I'm working hard, busting my ass, and you guys are just kind of, you guys aren't doing it. You know, you guys have this talent, and you're not utilizing it. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I love how the East is becoming really competitive. I like that. I think the Eastern Conference goes through. I don't know. I just saw where Kawhi's out, so I don't know. It's going to go through Toronto, either Toronto, Boston, or Philly. So that's going to be fun to watch to see who gets beat by the Warriors, despite the drama between Draymond and KD and all that shit. What was I talking about? Barbecue, did that. New phone, guys. I got a new phone. I got a Samsung Galaxy Note because my Samsung 7 was just on the fritz. It just was not giving me what I needed as a phone user. It just would not, it would just be slow. It would lag. And it just was not, it was time. I think I was talking to the guys at the store, and they were just, it was a couple of people buying phones, and they were just saying, yeah, after about 2 years, it's time to get a new phone. And the good thing about this is they gave me $200 for my Samsung and the 7. So this Samsung Edge that I have, that was about, so it made this phone that I have, this Note, about the same price as the other one from 2 years ago since I traded it in. So that was really good. So I didn't feel like I just dropped $1,000 for a phone, you know. But I'm doing the payoff thing. I can't just drop a G on a cell phone. Let's be honest with guys. Come on. But I think I'll just try to pay it off soon, so I don't have that extra bill. And then the extra fee that they add on isn't as bad, you know, to pay off the phone since I gave them they gave me $200. So if you can do that, and I think Samsung is doing that, if you want to upgrade your phone, so be on the lookout. If you're in the market for a new phone and you have a Samsung and you want to up an older Samsung or whatever, and you want to upgrade to this Note or something else or another Samsung product, ask them about that. I mean, I have AT&T, so, you know, definitely do that if you're in the market for a phone. I'm trying to help y'all out, you know what I'm saying, because I know how it is. And I like it. I haven't used the little stylus pen thing. I don't care about that shit. But I do like it. It's stronger, and you can everything looks so clear, and it's like when you get a new prescription with your glasses, or you get better contacts. And I had an eye exam about a month ago, and I was like, oh my God, I can see through things. Like, you feel like a mutant. I remember one time my ears were clogged up, and I went to the ENT. And it's just, you get like the wax removed, you get your checkup and everything. And he cleared my ears out. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like a mutant. Like, I can hear everything now. It's a little anecdote, you guys. That's what's called in the podcasting community, and a little anecdote. So I do like my phone. I didn't really do that much this week. I went to work. Oh my God. Thursday, you guys, if you live in the tri-state area, you live in the Northeast, my God, we got mollywopped by snow. We got our ass beat. Now, the way the news told it, to let the news tell, it's like, oh, we're going to get a little snow and it's going to make the afternoon commute a little annoying, but it'll be fine. So it's like 3 o'clock, I leave for work, and I told my boss, I said, yeah, if it's bad, I was scheduled to be off on that Friday, the 16th or whatever. And I told my boss, like, if the weather's bad, I'm not coming in, but I will probably just come in just because I didn't need to. Appointment got changed or whatever. And I was like, I'll just, you know, come in or whatever. But I said, if it's bad, I'm not. And it took me, I work in Westchester. It took me 45 minutes. It took me 45 minutes to get across the Tappan Zee. And sometimes that happens when it's not snowing. So I was like, all right, I'm talking to my parents on the way. It's like, yeah, this is going to be probably, you know, I'll let you know when I get home or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting in traffic. I listen to three fucking podcasts. So that was 3 hours of just being at a standstill, trying to get on either, trying to go like, if you live in the area like 9W to get you back into Jersey, it's kind of like the back way where it's like, you encounter a couple stoplights, but there were accidents and I was like, yo, and there were people turning around and the snow was getting so bad. And they say it was 7 inches, in the Westchester, Rockland County area. And if you know anything about Rockland County or Westchester, it's fucking brutal. Like it's the country. It really is the country. You're on these back roads and there's mountains and shit. And I just had flashbacks to last year of me being stuck in upstate New York. And I was, and this almost seemed like it was kind of worse. And normally the commute is like 40 minutes to an hour. It could be at the most, it could be, it can range anywhere from like 35 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic. And I'm sitting there listening to podcasts. I was like, I got to do something. It was getting hot and it was just feeling like, car was running. I was like, you know what? The Palisades Mall is near me. I'm maybe 20 minutes away from the mall. I'm going to the mall. I'm going to go to the mall. I'm going to see a movie and I'm going to get something to eat and I'm just going to wait it out until things get better. If I get home at 3 o'clock, fuck it. I don't care. I'm just not going to go to work tomorrow. I always had it in my head. I was like, I'm not going to go to work tomorrow. So I make the decision to turn around. And I go through like Nyack, which is a mountainous small town that's like 45 minutes outside of New York City, for those of you that don't know. And I make this, I make the decision. I was like, Lord, just get me to the mall. It's not that far. And I'm going through this town. I'm starting to have these flashbacks. My car, I have a Ford Fusion. It's a two-wheel drive, and it's not a car that's built for the snow. And even when I had a Ford Explorer in the snow, I didn't think that I was the shit, because Mother Nature is undefeated. It will whip your ass. And so I never got cocky about that either. But having a going from a Ford Explorer to a Hyundai Sonata, which got totaled, RIP, and somebody's still making money off of it because they took over the whatever. They still sold that shit and it's where they fixed anyway. And now I have a Ford Fusion and I was like, this isn't going to be, and I just said, you know, just said, God, get me to the mall. Let me have refuge at the Palisades Mall. So I'm driving through and I see people that are stuck. I see one black guy trying to tell people which way to go. And he's like, don't go this way. This place is shot. I didn't understand what the fuck he was saying. And then a cop came and moved him away. And I was like, oh, God, I hope this guy isn't going to be on the news for being, because he looked like a brown guy. He looked like a light skinned black guy. And he was like, I live here. And I was like, oh, shit, let me just go. And I just went up. And then I was like, I'm doing good. I'm just taking my time and I'm following the map on my phone. It just becomes, when it snows, and like I kind of know Nyack. I have family friends that live in Nyack, but the world becomes so much different when there's snow around, and it's like, fuck. And I'm driving, and there's like these little hills, and I'm like, oh Lord, these hills. And because is my car going to make it? And I get through, and I see where I'm like 10 minutes away, maybe like a mile or two away from the mall, and I get to this hill and everybody starts passing me. My car gets stuck and I said, shit, I'm gonna have to go around. Where the fuck do I go if I have to go around? So I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna back up. And so I backed up and turned around. I was like, wait a minute, maybe I can back myself up over this hill. And I did it. I was like, I MacGyvered that shit, and I backed my shit up and then went over the hill and then came down. And the hill, and it was just not even a big hill, but it was just like, really? Is this what's gonna stop me? This tiny ass hill? And so I did it. I made it. And then I got to the mall and I look at my AMC app and everything was like X'd out. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, the movie theater's closed. But God, I wouldn't want those kids to have to work at the theater anyway. So the movie was done. I was like, fuck. I was thinking, I was like, yo, I get to see Widows on Thursday and start off my weekend by seeing a movie or whatever. And I was like, fuck, man. And I was like, okay, the restaurant Yard House is open. And so I went in the Yard House, but then I called a coworker who was I was like, I know he's leaving after me. I wonder if he's in traffic. So I called him and he was like, where are you at? And he was like, I'm at the mall. I'm at the Palisades. I just dropped off another coworker or whatever to the bus. And I was like, yo, come to Yard House. So he came to Yard House and we ate and we kicked it. And we were just checking our maps. He was calling his family. I don't have a family. I have a PlayStation. Oh, and I got yelled at by my mom because I told her that I was going to call. And I was going to call her right when I got to the mall. But she called me as I was pulling into the mall. And she's like, why didn't you? Ah! I was like, mom, I was going to call you when I got to the mall. It's really bad out here. You might have to get a hotel. Ah! And I was, you know how mothers overreact, black moms in general. A mom that loves you is going to overreact and fucking go psycho on you. And I was just like, look, I made the decision to go to the mall. I'm going to stay here. If I get home at 3 o'clock, I'm going to stay here until it clears up. And I was about, so the Palisades Mall, that's like, that mall is about a little under a half an hour on a normal day. And I said, and it was like taking like maybe hour and a half. And so I was hanging out with my coworker. We were shooting the shit, eating and everything. And we just kept checking our phones. And he lives almost an hour from me. And so his commute was longer. His was like an hour and a half, hour 20. Mine was going down to 40 minutes. So we were just waiting until the Google Maps died, and it was just blood. Like, for the most part, it was just blood red, all these delays and everything. We were just not, I don't think the area was not prepared at all for this shit, man. And it normally, you know, they're like, oh, we got the plows out. But that snow hit before the plows could even get there, or it was brutal, man. But thankfully, Yard House was open. Shout out to the staff at the Yard House at the Palisades Mall in West Nyack. They were really sweet. They were really cool. And they were kind of short staffed. So they did. The Yard House is the shit. So if you ever find yourself at the Palisades Mall in West Nyack, go eat there. It's good. It's good food. Every time, like hanging out after shows, like the staff at Levity goes there. I go there with friends and stuff, like after shows and to hang out. It's a really good place. And shout out to those people, man, for being there for people when they needed somewhere to stay. And I had it a lot. I didn't there before the grace of God go I, because on the way back, on the way home, there were several cars that were stranded, that were just left stranded, and cars that were more powerful than mine that were just stranded on the side of the road. And I saw cars getting towed and everything like that, man. So the ride home, I was just on my P's and Q's and made it, man. So yeah, that was a hell. It's just fucking brutal. Like, that's the only thing about the East Coast. When it snows, it just gets bad. Like, I was talking to a friend about that, like, how Chicago is really cold, but you don't get snow like you really don't. I don't remember ever getting hit, like being like bogged down by snow in Chicago. Now some places in the Midwest, obviously, they get the shit kicked out of them. I'm not gonna say that, you know, that doesn't exist, but this was some of the worst I've ever been in. The worst traffic, the worst snow. It was brutal. So a lot of people were not as fortunate as I was being in that shit. But yeah, I made the best out of it. Got to hang with a coworker that I like. I like mostly everybody on that I work with in my department. Everybody for the most part is really they're really nice and decent and shit. So I wouldn't have called the guy. I was like, "Yo, come to Yard House. We're eating." You know. Yeah, so that was an ordeal. It was brutal. Talk to Maranzio Vance. He's on the Patreon. You got that. And then Friday, so what was it? It was Wednesday night, I believe. I was like, "Oh, I haven't played Spider-Man in a long time. I haven't played Spider-Man in a couple weeks." And I start playing. I was like, "I'll just play for an hour. I'll get to a checkpoint or get some skill points or some shit." And I ended up playing that shit till midnight. And the game is so fun. But it's almost like if you get to a point, you get beat, and you're like, "Fuck, I got to get past this part." And I just kept playing. And I was just oh, my God, it's midnight. Jesus Christ. And I was a zombie the next day, and I had to buy a Coke. Speaking of Coke, I don't drink coffee. Like some of my coworkers are just like, "You don't drink coffee? I don't get how." Yeah, it's like I just don't drink. It's never been my thing. I don't judge people if they drink it or whatever the fuck. You know, I don't care. But I just don't drink coffee. So if I get like sleepy, sometimes I'll just buy a Coke, and it'll get some caffeine in me, and I'm usually okay. And I was like, "Jesus, I was fucking playing that game. It's so fun." And then Saturday, I basically did the same thing. I ate my Western omelet, and I said, "I'm going to play Spider-Man." And I got really far. I think I'm maybe 60 or 70% complete through the main story. I don't do any of the – I don't have any of the suits. I have some, but I don't have the real cool, sexy ones. But, I mean, the suits are cool, but – shit, the new costume, the new suit that he has for the game is pretty dope. It's pretty slick. So I don't mind that, and it's still fun. A lot I notice it's pretty repetitive, but it's still good. And fighting the bosses, like, you're just kind of like you're fighting the Sinister Six. So it's Doc Ock, Rhino, Vulture, Shockwave, who else? I'm not that, I'm the Sinister Six. Dr. Octopus, Electro. I don't know about Kraven. Where it's supposed to be the Sinister. Okay, Sinister Six 2. Oh, shit, now we're getting into something that I don't really. Okay, let me see bosses in Spider-Man 4. Bosses. Spider-Man. This is compelling podcasting. Some of you nerds are like, "You stupid idiot. You don't know." Oh, Kingpin, Mr. Negative, Scorpion, Shocker, Tombstone? No. Electro. Anyway, you're fighting a bunch of these bad guys, and it's fun. And like it's fun, but then it could be like it's not. I think they just get harder as you fight. Yeah, okay. So you fight Kingpin, Mr. Negative, Scorpion and Rhino, Shocker, Tombstone I haven't fought yet, Taskman, okay. Anyway, some of these people are in the in the DLC. And the DLC looks pretty dope too. I really like it. It's so much fun. It's so much fun, like you can, because I never got into Grand Theft Auto. I just never got into it. Not to say like I'm better than you, because I didn't get into Grand Theft Auto. I just never got into it. Around that time that game was popular, I was just into the sports games. And so I was just into that, and I didn't care so much. But so as far as a game being like an RPG, I guess you could say, I mean, when I was a kid, there was Zelda, there was Final Fantasy and stuff when I was in high school. And Final Fantasy VII was the only one I played. And you got a game like, Tomb Raider, which is a third person game, but it's also got RPG elements. And then Horizon Zero Dawn, that's probably, yeah, so that was one that I really loved, and I still haven't played the DLC for that. So yeah, so I really enjoy it. And I see where on eBay had a thing where it was eBay like has Spider-Man for $40 if you get it, if you buy it from them. There's something I just sent to a friend about it that was thinking about getting it. But yeah, it's a fun game. I really like it. And I'm not that pressed about the suits. I think maybe I would go back and try to do some of these challenges and stuff. But there's a thing where you got to catch like 11 pigeons for some dude. That's the hardest fucking thing in the game I've ever done. That's like one of the hardest things in a video game that I've ever had to do. And I don't think I've ever caught one pigeon. And it's so fucking hard. It's harder to catch a pigeon than it is to beat Vulture and Shockwave. You got to fight them at the same time. It's hard. So I like that, and I played that all day Saturday until I had to shower and go do a show. So I did the show last night in Bayville, New Jersey, which is about, it's all like by the Jersey Shore, like near Toms River, South Jersey. And I'd done the show. There was a fundraiser for a football team, and I had done the show last year. If you remember, if you're a friend of the pod and you've listened for, you've braved most of these episodes of me rambling into a microphone. I did this show last year, and it got kind of weird because, first of all, there were not that many people. It was a decent amount of people there, and there were a lot of drunk people there. And then there was one comic that was a young Jew, a Jewish woman, and she had mentioned that she was Jewish, and like they were like, oh, boo. But it was because of some drama that went on in this town called Lakewood, where people are mad at, there's a lot of shit. If you look it up, like it, anyway, there was, it just got weird. And somebody explained it to me, why they were mad at the Jewish people, but she was not a Hasidic Jew. She was, I guess secular. I don't know what you call that. And I like Jewish people, and, I want to have a career in show business. So these were the people down in that, some of the people in that area that were mad at Jewish people. I was not mad at them. I am not mad at Jewish people. Okay. That was those people with, that was those people. It was not me. So it got kind of weird. Her set got weird after that. It wasn't her fault. And the crowd was shitty, kind of shitty. And there were some people that were drunk that were making the crowd shitty. And I got on stage and I was like, yeah, I was like, everything was going, pretty good until Jewish people came up. I was like, what? I didn't know that. I just riffed and made fun of them for a good minute and did my act and called out a couple of drunk people and did my set and had a good time. and I left. And I was just like, oh, it was a good show. Ended up having a good set, fought through that that drama, and had fun, left, didn't think anything about it. And then they wanted me to come back. And I said, oh, this seems like the same area, and it's a fundraiser, and the same team, but it was in a different location. And so I get there, and the booker, and there's just, as soon as I get there, there's a black guy, and I was like, thank God, there's some black. There were a couple of black people there last year. He's like, oh, you were so funny last year. Oh, I'm so glad you're back, young man. First of all, I was glad that he said young man, even though I'm pushing 40, but it was very nice of him. And he's, oh, glad to see you, man. And then I saw the booker, the guy that booked the show, ran the show last year. He's like, oh, so great to have you. I saw you on Murphy Brown. Oh, man, so glad to have you back. I was like, oh, cool. And then I started to get nervous because there are a couple people that remembered me. And I was like, oh, fuck, I hope I don't bomb tonight. It was just like, I was like, okay, there's the pressure. Like, there's always slight nerves before a show. Like, you know, it's always like, I always have that, like the little tiny anxiety, not to the point where I feel like I can't perform or can't do my show, because hey, you just get to the point where you just kind of try to get through it and have a good time. And yeah, so it was cool. And I was just, because there were people that kept coming up to me, and I was like, oh fuck, I got a lot to live up to. I was like, is this what famous people deal with on my minor level of middling on a fundraiser for a football team, a high school football team? Is this that was my level of you can't bomb tonight? And there was they had a host, and then they had a middle. It was weird how they did it. They basically did the same thing last year. And the show was just going to be too fucking long. So the host gets up there. He's not really a comic, but he's an actor, and he did what he did, and then he brought another guy that was a pro that did like 20. Then I did like almost 30, and I think I did like 30, and I got up there, and it was at a VFW, and the VFW where the stage was, it's like, I've done these shows before, and they can go really well, or it'd just be really bad. It was like sprinkles of black people there. And on the stage, it's just, you're standing on a little like stage, and they had this really big American flag. And the host brings me up, and he says, oh, he was on Murphy Brown. Oh, I don't remember the other thing. I was just like, nobody cares. Just bring me up. And he was like, oh, and they're like, he's black. And I just kind of riffed on that. I was like, thanks for letting them know that I'm black. I wanted to keep that a secret, but, and I just riffed on that. And I was like, oh, this is great to be here in front of this flag doing a fundraiser for a football team. I was like, should I kneel before my set? And they were like, oh, like they tried to get out. I was like, oh, no. I was like, oh, shit. The controversy in Bayville, New Jersey. And I riffed on that, talked about Kaepernick, talked about black quarterbacks. And it was fun. I had a good time. And like after my sister, oh my God, you're so good. Oh my God. It was good. So I got through that. I was just, that just made the stakes a little higher because they had seen me last year and they wanted me to do the show again. So that was, it's always nice to be asked back. So that was fun. I just didn't realize pleasantly surprised, and also a little nervous that I just didn't want to fucking bomb. So that was a neat experience for those folks to want me to come back. And that was like an hour and a half drive. So that was 3 hours, basically 3 hours of driving last night. But I'm glad that I didn't do anything. I did take a nap before. And it wasn't tedious, and it wasn't in my old age where I wasn't like tired after the show and stuff. So I was on my P's and Q's, and so it was a good night. Let's talk about, I'll talk about a movie. I don't know if I saw Widows on Friday. Let me give, I think I was supposed to talk to Rod about this. Maybe we'll do a review on his pod, or we'll maybe do a little more extensive thing. But I will say I really enjoyed it. So I'll read the blurb. A police shootout leaves four thieves dead during an explosive armed robbery attempt in Chicago. Their widows, Veronica, Linda, Alice, and Belle, have nothing in common except a debt left behind by their spouses' criminal activities. Hoping to forge a future on their own terms, Veronica joins forces with the other three women to pull off a heist that her husband was planning. This movie was written and directed, it was based on Widows by Linda LaPlante. It was directed by Steve McQueen, and Steve McQueen co-wrote this with Gillian Flynn. Is it Gillian or Gillian? I think it's Gillian Flynn who wrote Gone Girl. Right? I don't want to get that wrong. Let's see. Gone Girl and Sharp Objects. Yeah. So I dug it. I kind of didn't know what to expect. This reminds me of when you have like an art house director. Like when Spike Lee did Inside Man, which was really good. It's one of Spike Lee's like most, I don't know if it was more successful than Black Klansman, but at the time it was one of his most successful mainstream films. And it's about a heist, but it's about more than a heist. It's not just your average heist movie. It had politics involved. It had a lot of other interesting shit, and there's a really cool sequence that I like that I don't want to go into, but if you're up on it, if you're up on like gentrification and the segregation of a city like Chicago, it was really interesting. It was just like really quick, and it was very subtle. I really liked it. It's just, this movie is just more than a heist movie with really good actors. Obviously Viola Davis. I think Viola Davis, it's in her contract to, if she doesn't cry in a movie, if her character doesn't cry in a movie, she's probably not going to do it. She needs to give those like little puppy dog eye tears and everything. If she doesn't get to emote, she's not fucking doing the movie. She's great as always. Michelle Rodriguez, Daniel Kaluuya, Brian Tyree Henry. It's a really good ensemble cast. Liam Neeson's. And who else? Robert Duvall's in it. It was good. I really enjoyed it. And who was this new girl? What is this girl? Also, Carrie Coon's in it. What is this the same lady that was in Bad Times at the Royale? Oh, man, come on. Come on. I'm going to get this. This makes me mad when I can't. Let me find it. Let me find it. Where is the... I hate when I'm looking for somebody's name. Let's look on Wikipedia. Let's see, cast. Yeah, Cynthia Erivo. Yeah. There we go. Cynthia Erivo was also in Bad Times at the Royale. She was good. Mm-hmm. Right? Bad Times at... Don't tell me that she was not in Bad Times at the Royale. Yes, she was. Okay. Yeah, everybody was good. Good movie. Made me have fond memories of Chicago. And it was dope. So it's definitely worth seeing. I think you should see it. It's a nice thriller. Nice little swerve at the end. I mean, there's a point where you kind of, you're like, oh, I see what's going on. And I don't know that it was like a... Excuse me, I don't know if there was like a huge surprise, but it was just like, oh shit, okay, you know. So that was that. And I'm thinking, let's see what else. Music. The big release this week was Anderson .Paak's new album, Oxnard, which is good. If you like Anderson .Paak, I'm not trying to say, I mean, if you like the guy, if you fucking like what he does, you're going to like, it's good. I like it. I only gave it the once over. Like, I listened to it once while I was riding around on Friday, and it knocks. It's a good album. The homie Don Will said he kind of reminds him of Bilal. I get it, but like, it's kind of like Bilal, if Bilal rapped. But Anderson .Paak's like this really talented hybrid of a rapper and a singer, and like on his like pimp shit type stuff, and he's good. He's a dope artist, and had a really good Tiny Desk also. So if you're not familiar, which you should be, I mean, if you're hip, it's good. He's good. Oxnard, good album. I gotta listen to his other stuff. Like, he's got Malibu was the, I think, was the proper release that everybody, that kind of introduced him to the world. He was also in this with this group called NX and No Worries with this producer out of LA called Knowledge. Knowledge had a lot of beats, like a lot of beat tapes, and he did some stuff with Blue. I know Blue rapped over some of his beats like 10 or 12 years ago. I mean, not like he's, I just remember that from a while ago. And yeah, so I recommend Oxnard, and I want to get into listening to some of his older stuff that I saw on Tidal, because he's got like this unreleased thing, and he's got like another album called Venice. He's doing all these cities in Cali, where, you know, he's from Cali. So guys, I think that is it for the week. I've been your host, Chris Lamberth, and this has been episode 320 of the Mundane Festival podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you next time. Peace.